Care Bear power is to vanquish the enemy and bring happiness to everyone. Happiness cool. and rainbows.
All right. Nice.
So that was really my first feeling that being scared felt exciting. And, you know, a lot of kids do different things to be excited. Maybe you climb up on a boulder and you jump off, or you ride your bike without holding onto the handlebars. Like, there are ways to feel a thrill, and scary stories just happen to be mine. Because I can't fall off my bike and break my arm. Reading a book is a safe way.
Yeah.
I was a very safe kid. I never wanted to hurt myself. So it's a safe way. So then I get into grade school, and YA exists, but not as prevalent as it is now. I'm reading like R.L. Stine Goosebumps books.
Nice.
And we didn't have phones back in the dark ages. So I would often just hold these scary books and really look at the covers and like feel the embossed of the scary lettering. And that alone would just have my imagination going.
Cool.
That's really where it all started.
And so you talked a little bit about why you personally enjoy these stories, but why do you think us collectively as human beings have this great attraction to fear?
Fear. I mean, the world is scary. And the more we're connected, the more we can read about stories online, the more we can connect with each other on social media. The things that happen in this world that are scary are so attainable now. We can hold stories of war in our hands after it immediately happens. We can hear about dangerous nights, like the recent Halloween thing that happened in South Korea. Some people, they were out on the streets for the first time celebrating since the pandemic, and there were too many people, and people were trampled, and bad things are happening. And so life is uncertain. And to have this controlled way to channel the fear of the unknown, at least for a minute, I think provides a little bit of solace. You can practice fear. You can practice your reaction to fear.
In a safe way where you know.
In a safe way that you know it's not real.
Yes.
Of course, there are books about true crime, which in and of itself is just different.
Yeah.
But knowing that this can never happen to me is different than watching the news. And the news can happen to you. And so it's this way to sort of separate ourselves and practice being afraid, knowing that it's going to be okay. And even if something awful happens to you, if something awful like what's on the news happens, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Whether it takes a while or we're all going to be okay in the end.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I think we as a society connect to it.
Fascinating. Well, thank you for sharing all this great insight on something that, you know, a lot of people probably don't even think about, you know?
You're right. Before I go, Luke, can I give your listeners a few scary story recommendations?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I've got some good ones. Depending on what you're into, I have a few that fit into different subgenres. You know, you've got the scary house, like the haunted house. And for that one, I'd recommend White Smoke by Tiffany D. Jackson. It's about it actually has some connections to the Twilight Zone, if you read the author's note.
Oh, I love Twilight Zone.
It's about a house in a neighborhood, and the neighborhood is not all it seems. The house has some spooky things that occur inside, but really the spookiness is coming from external forces in the neighborhood. I'm trying to remember the episode of Twilight Zone. It's in the first season. It's where all the neighbors, the electricity is pulled out of the neighborhood. And all of the people in the neighborhood start to blame each other for why someone doesn't have lights or why someone can't start their car. And so that's a good one. White Smoke by Tiffany D. Jackson. Another spooky house one, and as well with a little bit of vibe of serial killer in it, is The Last House on Needless Street by Catriona Ward. This is the coolest book because one of the narrators is a cat. So if you have a reading challenge and you need to knock a book off the list that is narrator who is not human, The Last House on Needless Street. There are some domestic violence trigger warnings in there. And of course, you know, if you want to try horror or try suspense and you're worried about triggers, authors are very good about putting that at the beginning of their books nowadays. There's even websites. Did you know there's a website that you can look up to see if the dog dies in a book?
Really?
There's a website for that. So the, nice. The literary community is taking good care of you.
I think I might know a few people who need that.
Yeah, right? And so the last one I'll mention is if you do like true crime and you enjoy podcasts, which I'm guessing if you're listening to this, you do enjoy podcasts, A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson is a good one. I don't know this for sure, but I really think it was inspired by Serial, the podcast, and the Adnan Syed case. It's about a girl trying to solve an unsolved murder through this senior project that she has to do. And although it's not a podcast per se, it does read like a podcast. It reads in interviews and just a different way on the page than you might expect otherwise.
Interesting. Is this a fictional?
It's fictional. Book? Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a fictional forensics.
Yeah, definitely.
That's interesting.
That's cool.
Cool.
Well, thanks so much for having me today. This has been a blast.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your recommendations.
Anytime. I'm always open for recommendations. Just come on by.
Well, speaking of thanks, thank you to our listeners for dropping in to hear about this Halloween treat, we'll say. So thank you, and have a great day.